The Lord is with us, heart dwellers. And today he wants to address the issue of guilt, the guilt we carry around when we blow it. And I wanted to start out by telling you that I did a meditational video, My Child, You Are Forgiven, several months ago with music. And today the Lord asked me to listen to it. I'd been struggling with certain character flaws and habits that were not appropriate for the high calling we have in Christ as brides. The Black Panther made his entrance again, and I was growing weary and not knowing how to strangle him. I'm seeing now that guilt is a great tactic of the enemy to stop up the living waters springing from within, or even pollute them. During the forgiveness meditation, I watched as opaque shadows of bundles of sin were floating downstream in the crystal clear waters. And I realized that when our desire natures are at odds with what we know would most please the Lord, and we are at a point in our lives where our love for Him still does not equal our love for ourselves, then we allow ourselves things He has advised us we would be better off, more spiritual, and less carnal without. That reminded me of Galatians 5. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are at war with one another, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, we all have something we struggle over. And should I think otherwise, in no time at all will the Lord reveal them, lest we perish through pride and judgment. So when we indulge ourselves anyway, we create a bundle of guilt and remorse that we were not strong enough in our love for Him to deny ourselves. That bundle begins to form a dam. Just like beavers cut down a tree to stop up the waters, that bundle begins to form a dam that holds back the flow of the living waters from within ourselves. Jesus led me through the forgiveness meditation, and what was really anointed for me was that He wanted me to know that I really am forgiven. He wants me to accept that. But how can I accept that when I know I'm still not strong enough to avoid the next occasion of sin? How do I deal with repetitive sin? And many of you on the channel have been very candid and written in about your struggles with repetitive sin. So I know that the Lord is going to use this flaw of mine to help you as well, to get a perspective on how to handle it. Now, I call it sin because the Lord said many things were permissible, but not all of those things are expedient or God's perfect will for us. So I said to the Lord, Lord, how can you forgive me when I keep on sinning? I am so sick of my carnal nature. He replied, yes, but all is forgiven. Claire, you're not free. You are bound in guilt. I wanted to free you tonight. But how can you free me when I feel like a dog that returns to his vomit? He answered, even vomit can get old and in a hurry. But when you don't forgive yourself, you're chained, bound, and useless in the sense that what is clear and clean gushing from inside of you is dammed up by the debris of your sin. Let it go. Lord, I want to, but I'm not getting encouraging readings from you. They're all pinpointing my weaknesses, just more readings that make me feel guilty. Can you please give me something that will set me free? I began to cry. Well, I opened the Bible promises, and this is what I opened to. I will cure them of their unfaithfulness. I will love them freely. I will no longer be angry with them. And Thessalonians 2:16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace. May he comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. And I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore I have drawn you with loving kindness. Jeremiah 31:3. How do you like those numbers? Pretty neat, huh? But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2. The Lord continued here, "Now if that doesn't convince you, my darling, nothing will. Don't worry about this tendency to sin. Now, before you get all angry with me and say that I'm not hearing from the Lord for that remark, he's not talking about ignore the fact that you're sinning. What he's trying to do here is get you not to focus so much on the sin as on his love for you and his promises that he's faithful to deliver you from the sinful nature. Don't worry about this tendency to sin. Stop locking horns with it. Rather, divert your attention away from its suggestions. Change the subject radically. Get on something else and leave that demon hanging in the air without any satisfaction. The minute you lock horns with it, your focus goes from me to the sin which is overpowering you. Keep your eyes on me and confess the fact that I will finish what I started in your soul. We are going to have the victory." In other words, pay more attention to me and my promises to you to cure you than to the momentary battle. And here I'd like to insert, the Lord isn't saying not to repent. I'm taking that for granted, and he's taking that for granted, because we're dealing with some very repentant people on this channel, to the point where they're constantly condemning themselves for things they're innocent of. So yes, of course, repent. Yes, of course, tell him you're sorry and ask for the strength to go on. But then move on with him, changing the focus from yourself and your sin to his power to deliver you. The Lord continues here. "And make a fast offering. Jesus, I offer you this temptation which I have chosen not to follow, for one sinner on the brink of hell, that they will be reached with your love and redemption. Rather, I am choosing out of love for you that which I know will please you." You'll be surprised how quickly they will cease and desist hammering you with temptations. They will be throttled by Satan if a soul feels conviction because you prayed for them. Basically, they will be told, "Go and find someone else to torment. This one's too dangerous." Or, "Wait for a time when she's weaker, then return. Surely she'll fall then. Remember, Satan took leave of me, saying he would wait for a more propitious time. When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity." That's Luke 4:13. "Try it. You will see how well it works. There are plenty of people to torment, those who will not turn around and use it as a weapon against the tormentor. I'm giving you this advice, Claire, because I too grieve when you sin, and both of us are hurting. Oh, I want so much to make your heart perfect before me, but it doesn't happen overnight. Remember, you are to be a good example to others, and yet your weaknesses I use as well. The issue is the sting of guilt that is left behind and causes those living waters to trickle instead of gush. Do you want those living waters to flow at full force or a trickle?" Wow, I see your point, Lord. I know you do. And for that, I am happy. So try to remember that in the presence of temptations, the guilt will block the flow of ministry. Right now, you could be operating at a much higher flow. Come, Let us walk this through together. And my brides, the exact same thing applies to you as well. Do you want more of the Spirit? Crucify more of the flesh. Not on your own, but when I inspire you to abstain from things that are harmful to your walk. If you're faithful to follow my instructions, it will take only a little time to get to the summit. Not years wandering round and round in the desert, as it has taken my bride, Claire. Yes, for years she has struggled, and many of you too have struggled for years. All of you have different issues, or slightly different versions of them. These are allowed for your perfection. As James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. It's the first chapter of James. So there's a point to being exercised in self-control and self-denial. By my grace, you ascend on high to the throne I have prepared for you in heaven. You say, but Lord, I don't care about a throne. Ah, yes, I understand. But do you care about justice and righteousness, healing the sick, feeding and clothing the poor, teaching the uninformed? Yes, of course you do. Do you wish to give wedding presents to me? Do you wish to make me ecstatically happy? Do you see my point? These offerings will bring you into a greater degree of authority, and with that comes the privilege of doing more good for the kingdom. Don't you know the bride looks after the groom's welfare and happiness? Don't make me happy. Throw off this harness of guilt and condemnation. Let these little self-indulgences, which the enemy makes light of before you commit them, but afterwards hammers you with a maul, let them fall away. Walk away from them. Leave those demons hanging in midair with no results. I love you. I'm with you. Remember, leave those demons hanging. Pray for the lost. And offer me your fast from self-will for those who stand on the brink and have no other soul to pray for them.